Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Father God, we just thank you for this morning, Lord. And just as I said, Lord, thank you for the freedom to praise you and worship you just where you have our hearts, Lord. Whether we're standing or kneeling or even laying prostrate, Lord, it's for your glory. So, Lord, I ask that as this morning progresses, Lord, that your Spirit would be so overwhelming over each one of us, Lord. Have your way with us, Lord. Let us not restrict what you want to do with us today. May our hearts be open to your presence. May our hearts be open to those things that we need to hear from you, Lord. Bless our worship time, Lord, because this is all about you. We thank you in Jesus' name.
So, God's so good, and I got my wife back. So, she's been sick for the last 7 months, in deep pain a lot of times, and we stood firm on the Word of God, and there's a lot of times we saw the waves coming all the time, and I had fiery darts of the evil one kept coming at me. You're going to lose your wife. I said, not yet, not now. And so anyways, yesterday was a good day, a breakthrough day. So she has her personality back, her joy back. And but she just wanted to give up and die. And I just thank God she didn't. So thank you for not judging her, because I don't know why it took 7 months, but we stood on the Word of God. And so I encourage you all just to stay standing on the Word of God and don't give up. And God is good. He's absolutely good all the time, and He's perfect. And we are sons and daughters of the King, and priests, kings and priests. And we don't have to be slaves to fear. And Satan is a nobody. So anyways, God is good, and I just wanted to encourage you all about that. Thanks.
Hello. Good morning. Ooh, this is hot. When we're singing that song, Dance Like the Weight Has Been Lifted, that's an act of faith. It's dancing in freedom, knowing that by faith that the weight will be lifted. You know, so many times we talk about going through certain things at certain times. But as we were worshiping, I was thinking about us being yielded vessels to the Lord. Are we willing to go on the potter's wheel to be molded and made in His image the way He wants us to be? It may not be comfortable. It may not even be at the right time, so we think. Do we really want what He wants when He wants it? Dance like the weight has been lifted. All this week, even starting now, don't have to wait till tomorrow, Monday, when something happens. Just walk in freedom. Every time a thought or a challenge comes, think about dancing it off, stepping into another room, stepping away from the situation. Don't be tempted to be brought in, sucked into the situation. You see it going the wrong way? Step away. Walk into another room. Start dancing it off. Sing it. Dance like the weight has been lifted. I challenge you today. It'll change your life. We as Christians should be free to take the things that God has left here for us on earth right now by His Holy Spirit, we start going the wrong direction, we should feel in our spirit man like an emergency brake going on. Don't go. Don't say anything more. Don't, you know, head that direction, whatever it is. If we are born again by the Spirit of grace and the Holy One lives on the inside of us, we should have that unction periodically. Let this time be a time to let God Himself minister freedom, liberty, healing, victory, uniting hearts in the body of Christ, mending broken relationships. Let it be for you today, in Jesus' name.
If there's anybody else that would have a word, this is your time. Has God been kind of tugging at your heart? It's there. All you got to do is get it out. See, I knew there was one more.
I was hesitating. God knew he had to get Pastor John up here. Come on, Micaiah. This morning when I was getting ready, I like to listen to worship music whenever I can. But when I'm getting ready, and it helps me just get ready, you know, for the day and ready my heart for church. But I heard this song, and I don't know the name of it, but she was talking about, she grew up in the church. So she was talking about her dad, you know, preaching at the pulpit. And she was saying, you know, the pulpit's made of wood, but there's power in it. And ours is, I don't know, plastic, but there's power in it, right? And these old creaky wood floors or bowling alley lanes for us, it's just wood, but there's power in it, right? Hallelujah. And so it, and she was talking about, you know, being there in that place where Jesus saved her. And it made me think of that verse, you know, don't give up communing with each other. Don't give up gathering together. But when I was thinking about that, I felt like I needed to share with you that for those of you that are here or haven't been here for a while, or especially for the ones that listen to the message online, he's saying, come home, prodigal son. Come home, prodigal daughter. Because there's power in this house. There's power when we commune. This is our family, and we care for you. So come home.
And are we it? There's someone. We ain't done yet, guys.
You know, Micaiah reminded me of yesterday I went out to water. It's actually warmer outside than it is in the house. But I ran back inside and grabbed my phone and put my earpods on and was listening to worship music too. And the song, it's well. It is well with my soul. Through it all, it is well with my soul. No matter what we're going through, guess what? It is well. So praise God. Today in prayer, in the prayer room, we're talking about joy and peace. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and we can do all things through Christ. And I just praise Him today.
I'm not really good speaking and stuff, but this last week, the Lord has been talking to me. My whole life I felt like I don't belong. Don't belong with groups at work. Don't belong anywhere. Don't even belong in my own family. And the Lord has just told me over and over this week, I belong to Him. So if you feel like you don't belong, you do. So I just want to tell you, just just belong to him. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, still open. Well, I just wanted to say a little bit, that song that Steve sang, Make Me in Your Image, he did that at Wednesday night's Bible study, and that song really ministered to me. And then when he did it again today, it's like different parts of it that I didn't see then, but I saw now. And what really stood out to me today was it says, ring me out. Ouch. Ouch, right? I had the image of, when we do our dishwashing or whatever, and they do that thing with the... But guess what? After that, you're all clean. You're washed with the blood of Jesus. You're washed with His Spirit, that clean, beautiful water. You know, may not feel good to be wrung out. But if you need it, and I think we all do, just embrace it. And let Him be that image that we all long for. And I mentioned this at the Bible study, is that when you look at yourself and you look at God and His image, we cannot even be anything close to who He is. But we don't have to be, because it's Jesus that He sees. When He looks at us, He sees His Son. And so, I'm good. I'm good. He sees me. And I'm getting better and better at seeing myself in His image and allowing Jesus to be that will get me there. So, I don't know where you got that song, Steve, but ouch. You wrote it? Ay, ay, ay. That ought to tell you what God's doing in this church, right? He's given people songs to write and hearts to do it with. Thank you, Steve, for me. And thank you, worship team. We're going to go into communion now, so thank you. Oh, hold on.
Yeah, it's just to brought up that she didn't fit in. Is that right? Yeah, well, guess what? We're not created to fit in. We are a bunch of misfits. Let me say amen to that. Because none of us, I mean, we group together as the body of Christ, but it's because of who we are in Christ that difference is. And so we're not created to be like anybody else. We are a misfit, if you will, but we fit together in Christ. The body works together in one to reveal the glory of God in the earth. So, sister, hey, you're in a good place. How many say amen? Amen. Praise God.
Okay, so we're going to go into communion this morning. And most of you already know how we do it here. First Sunday of the month, we do corporate communion, and that is all of us take communion at the same time. All the other Sundays, communion will be available to you at our back there, our back table, and that's for you personally, you and your family, whoever it may be. Communion is always available to you in this church. But today is corporate communion, and we do it together. So your servers are going to be passing out the elements. And I want to remind you that these elements are in two. There's the bread, and there's the, we call it the wine. But anyway, the juice. But they're all in the put together. So don't lose heart if they don't want to come apart. They will, just keep twisting, but there's both of them together. So just take them apart and wait until we're all ready to take communion together. So as they're passing out the elements, I do want to read out of Hebrews 10, beginning with verse 11. And it says, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. That's you. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. And then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sins is no longer necessary. You know, when Jesus said, thank you. When Jesus said finished, it was on that cross. I hope you know what the word, the definition of finished is, right? There's no more to be done. He did it all. And all the things that we allow for our minds to, those little whispers, those little things that come at our heads that condemns us. Why are you listening to that? Why do we listen to those things? Jesus did it for us, a new covenant. And now it's, as he says, it's in our hearts, it's in our minds. We don't have to be offering sacrifices anymore. And so today, as you take the elements today, just know, Jesus said that we are to do it in remembrance of him. Remember what he did on that cross. And when he said finished, he says, I did it all for you. I did it for you. And so as we take the elements today, do it with a thankful heart. Remember what Jesus did. And just know that it's not for you to listen to those voices that don't mean a thing. So let's go ahead and let's go into the communion. So everybody's got your bread. And the word says that on the night that that Jesus would be betrayed, that he was with his disciples, that after giving thanks, he took the bread and he gave to each one of his disciples. And he told them, this was his body. And to take it in remembrance, a body that would be broken, a body that would take so much punishment so that we wouldn't have to. A body that would take upon itself all disease and all the things that you could imagine that would come against us. But he did it for you. So please take the bread. And in the same way, he says that they took the cup, and this was a symbol of the blood that he would shed, a blood that would solidify a new covenant. No more goats and animals to be sacrificed for anything. He did it all. He did all the final sacrifice. And he sealed it with his blood. Please take the cup. And just take a minute as the servers come through and pick up your cups, pass them to the side. But just take a moment to, as the word says, remember what he did for you. Thank you. And as you do that, we'll ask Rebecca to step up there when she's ready. Thank you.
Hello, hello. Hi, good morning. So, the title of my message, it's wrong on your bulletin. It's right on the back, just not on the front. It's actually going to be called Point of View, Adversity or Prosperity. And I don't know if this is going to be very long, but I feel like the scriptures I have and the things that God's given me for you are they're important. They're something that I feel like he's really wanting the church to see. I know it's something that I feel like has been talked about even in the past. I feel like it got touched on even this morning through people who spoke this morning. So, you know, we are not of this world in the way we function, in the way we do things. We're supposed to operate in the kingdom. So just like my dad was saying, it's important for us to remember that it's okay to stand apart and it's okay to be separate, because sometimes the way that things happen, the way that things come about, we don't know what God has planned. But if we keep our eyes focused on him, we'll see those things come around for prosperity in our life. We really will. And this morning, I'm going to start with my scripture first, and then I'm going to kind of talk about the story, because we're going to be talking about Joseph this morning. I'm going to start with Genesis 45, verse 5. It says, "But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all this house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. We're going to talk about Joseph today because this is the end of what happened with Joseph. This is, I mean, not necessarily the end, but this is an outcome of years of struggle, of adversity in his life, things that just kept happening. And I just really like that at the end of all of this stuff that happens, this is what he says. Don't be grieved, don't be angry, because God sent me here. You know, we really do always have the option to be able to look at things in two ways, that our adversity is just bad. And things are bad and things are not happening the way we wanted them to happen. And it's not going the way I wanted it to go. And why am I in this position? Or we can really begin to operate in the kingdom where we say, God, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm going to keep my eyes focused on you because you know what's going on and you know exactly where you're taking me. Our adversity, a lot of times, allows us to gain knowledge. That knowledge allows us to gain wisdom. Wisdom really does make us prosperous, because now we're able to function in a whole different way with God. So, kind of going back, Joseph was not necessarily his brother's favorite, right? They were not happy with him because he was the spoiled baby. And, you know, he did. He got sold into slavery. And he got sold into slavery in Potiphar's house, which there he already got put in another position to be God. You know, everywhere he went, God continued to bless him. Even with the circumstance, he got taken from his family, and he still went after God, and God blessed him. And then when something knocked him down again, because then while he's in Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife goes after him. He tells her, nope, I'm not touching you. I'm not going near you. And she gets mad. Now he's knocked down again and he's in prison. And even there, he looks to God. And he still, no matter the length of time, he looks to him and he prospers. So then he's able to interpret a dream. This is the very quick version because I didn't have time to for us to read several chapters this morning. But he interprets a dream for the prisoners that are in there with him. And then now he is kind of forgotten about for a while again. The Bible actually talks about how the baker kind of forgot about him and didn't remember until suddenly the king needs a dream interpreted. And that's the thing, is one of the things I just really want to point out in this story is this did not just happen in a few days. It didn't just happen in a few months. This was his life happening over a span of time, of years. And when we are in the middle of adversity, there's a lot of times where we just totally want to let our soul take over, our emotions, and it just becomes this woe me party sometimes, right? And it can be hard. It can be really difficult because we really do begin to, I don't know why. I don't understand, God. Why am I going through this? What's happening? But through all of it, Joseph continued to look at God. And you see in every single place he's in, and that's one of the awesome things about the story. If you have not read the story and paid attention to all the details in it, I would encourage you, go back and read it again, because it's just, you see in between each part, even when he's still in the midst of adversity, the Bible talks about how he was prospering, that he was being put in positions that allowed for blessing, because he was never forgotten. God never said, oh, you got sold into slavery, okay, bye. It was never like that. He was with him through all of it. He knew exactly what he was going to go through. He knew exactly where he was going. And that's the thing, is a lot of times in our lives we hit adversity and we don't know where we're going, but we got to remember that God does. He knows where you're going. He knows what you're going through now. He knows what you're going to be going through tomorrow. He knows what you're going to be going through months, years from now. He knows all of it. It's not a by chance mistake. He knows exactly where you're at and what's happening. And if you do what Joseph did, where you go, I don't know what's going on, but God, I'm going to keep looking to you. You're going to begin to see that what you're going through is not something to be upset about or unhappy about, but that it's creating prosperity in your life. It really is. It is bringing you to new things. It is giving you new things. It is blessing you. It is building you up. It is giving you tools that you didn't even have before. It's giving you things that you need. It really is. And so Joseph goes through all of this stuff, right? He's now at this point been sold into slavery. He's been put in prison. And now he's before the king. And it's not him. That's the awesome part about it. It's not him. It's the ability that he gets through God that allows him to minister, that then puts him in another great position. It's the things in your life that are doing the same exact thing. When you feel like you're down, count it all joy. I know that it sounds crazy, but it's a part of understanding that you really are, just like we said today, sons and daughters of a king. And no matter what you're going through, he never leaves your side. The Bible actually talks to us about how we are already more than conquerors through Christ. When you invited him into your life, you acquired so much. But a lot of times we don't see it because we're too busy looking at the physical in our life. Could you imagine if Joseph at any point decided, that's it, I give up. I'm sitting in this prison, I'm staying here forever because I just can't do it anymore. If he just decided to be angry, if he just decided, God, you don't know what you're doing and I'm just mad at you. Sometimes those things in our lives, those moments that we choose, God, I'm not listening to what you're saying anymore, they can really put us at a halt. They really can. God knows. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you're going through. But a lot of times, our inability to listen to him sometimes even holds us back more because he's just waiting. I'm right here. I got your solution for you. I got what you need. Just keep looking to me. And that's the thing is Joseph did that. Through every single thing that happened, he continued to look to God. He continued to say, okay, like, all right, God, I'm still going to go after you. Even in prison, he went after God. And so he goes through all of this. He gets put in a great place, right? And he's like Pharaoh's right-hand man. And it puts him in a position, really, and this is what we read, to save his family's life. The people who sold him into slavery. Now he's saving them from starving to death, from death, plain and simple. And, you know, I think just like everybody with human emotions, as you read through the last part of the story, when his brothers come, you can see that he struggles because he's hurt. Who wouldn't be when your family sells you into slavery? You know what I mean? Like it's, and you've gone through all of these things as a result of that. But I love that even as he goes through all of these, I really like that there's several parts in the Bible that, and this is something that I actually noticed this last time, that really I just felt like, man, God, there was these moments when he was talking to them in between each part, where when he first talks to them and is wanting to know about his father, he's wanting, you know, he's got questions. And there's a part in there where it talks about he walks away and he weeps. And in the past, the weeping part has never really stood out to me. But every time, if you read the bio, if you read through the story and you look at it, every time he comes back, it's like he's in a better position to deal with them. And I really believe that he was walking away and just weeping to God, like, I don't, God, I'm hurt. But he was so used to going after what God wanted for him. And he does. He talks to them. He asks them to bring Benjamin. He does do the cup thing where he puts it in the sack so that the brother's going to have to stay. Freaks him out, right? But But when he gets to this, this is, I just, the culmination of so much adversity. It's just so powerful to see. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. It really becomes a choice. It really does. In the middle of adversity, what am I gonna do? Am I gonna try to take all these circumstances into my own hands, or am I gonna just give them to you, God? Am I gonna allow you to work in my life? Am I gonna allow you to do the things that you're wanting to do in my life? This seems so simple, but this is something the church really struggles with. They do. It's easy. I can tell you, I've struggled with it. I think all of us have. But the truth is that I really believe that God has begun to bring up our walks more often because he really is preparing the church. He's readying his bride. He really is. And the world is in a position where we need to stand apart. We need to be showing who he is. A reflection of the Father. A reflection of who he is in our life. And so often, these little things are the ways that they happen. The adversities in our life are a refining in the fire. They really are. That create moments for us to learn and that give us more wisdom and build us up. They're not meant for bad. It's why the Bible actually tells us that all things work together for good, because God knows every single moment. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what is happening. And he can give you things to prosper you, regardless of what that moment is. There's no moment that's too big or too small. There really isn't. There's things that happen in our life that we feel like, God, I don't know. I want to be really angry right now. But just know that if you turn to him, he really is going to give you a peace. He's going to give you a joy. He's going to give you all the things that he's promised you in your life. He's not going to leave you in that moment to just drown. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. It says, "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" It is about a point of view. That's exactly what he's talking about right here. I'm going to boast in this infirmity because I know, God, that you're walking through it. You're doing something in this moment. I'm going to give you glory for what I don't even see because I know the promises you've given me. It's about learning to stand on those things that he has promised you. It's about taking all the things that you've been reading, all of the things that he's been writing upon your heart and using them in your walk. It's what Joseph did. He spent the time through the adversity just going after God. looking for direction, looking for what do I do in these moments? And it was God who brought not just comfort, but who in the end brought so much more. He placed him in a high place. He gave him power. He gave him all of the things that he would need to prosper not only himself, but his family. God didn't just stop, I'm just prospering you. It was him and his family. And it's the same thing for all of you. As you get words from God, as you begin to walk and do things the way that God's calling you to do them, it brings prosperity not only to you, but it brings prosperity to your children. It brings prosperity to your children's children. It brings prosperity to the people around you. It brings prosperity to so many others. If we just stop looking at the adversity and start looking at what God's doing through the adversity, we would see that it's a moment of growth, that it's a moment of so much more. It's where the life more abundantly just begins to come in, because all of these things are working together for your good to bring you to greater than you even can dream or imagine. Do you think that Joseph, when he got sold into slavery, thought, one day I'm going to be over all? No. But it didn't matter, because he was trusting the one who was leading him there. And it's the same exact thing that we have to do. We gotta learn that just because we're going through some things, just because life seems difficult at the time, don't lose sight of what God's doing for you. Don't let it become a distraction in your life. Don't let your body and your soul begin to take over all of what you're doing, because the Holy Spirit is trying to lead you. It's trying to give you It's the weeding process, right? But that's the thing, is so often we look at the weeding out, but we don't always think about what he's replacing it with. He's weeding out so that he can put things in your life that he's wanted to put there, but can't, because we're too busy holding on to the mess. We're not meant to hold on to that. It's where the surrendering to him becomes important, to learn like none of this is truly important besides what you have for me. We make things so much more important that we don't want to let go of, that we don't want, God, nah, I don't know, I don't want to do that. But if we would just learn that a lot of times, you know, to be honest with you, a lot of times those little moments of, I don't want to, but God, you're telling me go this way and I want to go that way. A lot of times that in itself is already just him trying to give you a lesson in obedience. Let me show you how if you take the path I'm telling you to take, that it's going to turn out so much better than what you thought by staying in this spot. He's wanting to place more in your life. Psalms 1:1-3 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." This tells us exactly what we're meant to do. Those moments where we get worked up, where we get anxious, where we get nervous, he wants us to learn to control those moments, to put the Spirit in front of us and say, nope, No. Your word says that you will prosper me. That my leaves shall not wither. That's the thing, is he's talking about here, that river that he's talking about placing you next to, that is the Holy Spirit in your life. It is taking the time to spend with God, reading his word, praying, spending, communicating with him, so that we can get things that we need in our life. That's what's so amazing about having a living and active word, not just a book. Because when you read that Bible, it doesn't matter if you've read it once, 100 times, he's got what you need. You'll begin to see that what you read maybe years ago, when you read it again, it's completely different. Something you read months ago because you were in a different place in your life, he now could have something else for you in it. Because that's the thing, is he is living. The Spirit is living, and he has things for you. He wants to give you more. It's why when you read the Bible, you will see new things, because it's a revelation that's taking part in your life. A revelation that is allowing for transformation in your life. It really is. It's why wisdom is important. It's why going through some of these things sometimes is important, because things that you didn't know before, you come out with something better on the other side. Things that you didn't understand. You know, there's so many times where, because when you're just focusing on God for things, you know he's talking to you. You know that he's giving you something. And there has been even so many times in my life where I've gone through something, and when I look back, I'm like, man, I thought that was so much worse. But the difference is because God gave me something through it. So that problem that's way back there, it doesn't even matter anymore. But I definitely got something from it. It's the building in your life. These are the things that even when it comes to your faith, you are building up. When has anybody ever had somebody say, but how do you know that he's real? You know, when I was younger, I used to get asked that question a lot, because I was a associate pastor's daughter, a youth pastor's daughter. So it's like they expected me to have all these answers. And I'd get asked this question, and I'd be like, I don't know. Because I know. Yeah, but how do you know? And it was like when I was little, like I'd be like, because it's what my parents taught me. Like, I don't know, right? But over time, because of the things that God's brought me through, the ways I've seen him work in my marriage, the ways I've seen him work in my business, the way I've seen him work in my life, it's always been when somebody asks me that now, it's like, man, I don't even know the ways to explain it to you. Because I've seen him move in my life so many times. I know the feeling during worship when he's just right there next to you. I know the feeling of his presence. I know his voice when he speaks. I know there's just no way to even deny who he is in my life, because he is so prevalent because of the relationship and the time we've spent together. It's what's important for your own life. It's what's important for baby Christians when they come up. I don't know. How do you know it's real? I don't know if I even want to be here. I don't even know if I like this church, because you're spirit filled, because you got this stuff going on and I don't really understand it. Take the time to just get to know the Father and he will answer every question you have. You'll begin to see that what you thought was crazy before makes total sense, because now you know the power that's within your life. You know that you are a child of God, that you are royalty in a kingdom that is so much more powerful than anything that you could do here on earth. It's a building up in your life that just happens as you go after him and as you continue to build a relationship, as you continue to allow him to transform the things in your life. As that transforming of your mind begins to happen. Because now things that you didn't understand before make total sense, because there has been a revelation that's taken place in your life. There are things that you will say to people that they will just not, sometimes they just won't get, and that's okay. I have learned that there are things that I am super excited about and would love to tell people. And the moment that I tell them, I'm like ready for this big reaction for them to be like, oh, okay. And I have learned that's okay, because I'm excited and I just threw a seed out there that God can grow, because he grew it in my life. And it's not, he's not saying, I'm not going to grow it for them. No, it's about going after him for those things to grow in your life, so that he can continue to reveal things to you, so he can continue to give you new things. And a lot of times those things that are happening in our life are happening according to the places he's got us in, the positions he's got us in. Because I learned something before, say, Terry. He learned things before me, because our lives are going through things and God's speaking to us in those moments. He's teaching us things. It's why this communion, the body, is so amazing, because sometimes where we do feel weak, his word can strengthen us from the people around us, because they got it. They've been revealed those things. That's why it's like a sharing of all the things that God's placed within our lives. It's why this family is so awesome. It's because you do get that support and encouragement. And can I tell you, you're going to go through things in your life, especially, can I tell you, especially if you are not around a group of people that are listening to God. I have even found that there was times even in my life where I went through something and I really wanted to talk to somebody. I'm going to go talk to my friend. And they gave me some advice that I was like, I don't know. Be careful who you get your advice from. Because sometimes, and it's not, I'm not saying because they give bad advice, but it's because they don't know how God can work. They don't know what God can do in your situation. They don't know the blessing that there is there. And sometimes they just may not give you that advice that's according to what the word tells us. So be careful getting advice from other places. It's why we talk about even being independently dependent on God. Because it's important that we understand we have a relationship with him. We have the ability to ask him about all our situations, to ask him, which way should I go? What should I do? What do you want me to do in this moment? And that is going to be more important than what anybody can tell you to do. Because he knows what he's bringing your way. He knows what he has for you. He knows what he wants to give you. Let's go to Proverbs 4, verse 20. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. This is what I was talking to you about with Joseph. Just look at me. Look at the Father for what he's giving you. That's what he's wanting us to do. That's what he's telling us. Just keep your eyes here. And as you go after me, I'm gonna make all the rest just fall into place for you. Because I'll give you every tool. I'll supply every need. I'll give you every single thing if you just learn that that's where you gotta look. That if you just stay focused there, don't let the things that you see happening around you begin to worry you or give you any thought of like, oh, I don't think you're doing it, or I don't think it's happening. Just know, God, you said that this is what you would do, and I'm standing on it, and I'm gonna just continue to go after you. I'm gonna continue to look at you for what's happening now. James 1, verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. We gotta start learning to count it all joy. We gotta start learning, God, I am going to allow you to work in my life. So show me what you're wanting me to do. Give me a word. Give me the things that you're wanting me to have in these moments. Look to him, because he is wanting you to lack nothing. Nothing. That to me, this is a promise. His word is true, which means that this right here is a promise to you that you would lack nothing. When you feel like you're struggling, when you feel like things are hard, no, you are meant to lack nothing. So go after God, because he's just like he says here, it will be given to him. Wisdom will be given. Philippians 4, it says, starting at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. This right here, when something comes up in your life, rejoice. When something's happening, rejoice. Know that he is building you up, that he is giving you more, that he's placing more in your life, that he's doing a work within you. Let your gentleness be known to all men. You are made up of the spirit, the soul, and the body. And your gentleness becomes known by that spirit becoming the thing that leads you and guides you all the time. When God is able to lead you in everything you do, you will begin to reflect who the Father is. Because in a moment where you used to be angry, you're not going to be angry anymore. In a moment where you used to just maybe make a quick decision and it wasn't always the right one, you're going to learn to be patient. in a moment where you would let anxiety take over, you're going to learn to quiet that. All of these things, people that have known you for years will begin to see changes in your life because of that transformation taking place in your life. It's a reflection of who the Father is. It's now not us reacting based on our soul and our emotions and whatever we just want to do, but allowing God to be first and foremost in our life and the one who's guiding us and directing us in every single thing we do. This is where the church begins to be set apart. This is what the church is meant to do, is walk in a way that's different. It's learning that the quarreling, the issues that come up, things like that, that they don't just let them go. You know, the churches are really gonna begin. There is so much. There's so much division between churches. There really is, because for a long time the body has done this thing where they hop from one to the other to the other to the other according to what makes them happy or what they like. Ooh. Okay. I know God's wanting me to speak to somebody, so you're looking at the wrong thing. You need to find a place that allows growth in your life, that allows God to be able to speak to you, that allows God to be able to give you new things, that allows God to work in your life. It shouldn't be about, I didn't like this here, or this person made me upset here, or this is happening here. You're looking at the wrong things. You're missing what God's wanting to give you because you're focused on things that are not important. People are people. Sometimes maybe we do things and we don't even realize how it affected you. Maybe sometimes we don't even realize that we might have hurt you. Maybe sometimes we don't. People are people. But God, He's the one that we should depend on for what we're hearing, what we're needing, what all of it. And that's the thing, is as we begin to do this, you're going to see all these churches begin to operate as one body the way that they're meant to. Because the Holy Spirit isn't different from here to there. The church down the street doesn't have a different Holy Spirit than the Holy Spirit that we have here. We're meant to be one. We really are. And as we allow God to do things in our lives, as we begin to let Him be the focus, this, what the word says right here, let your gentleness be known to all men, it begins to be what leads us, is Him over what we wanted, what we thought, how we normally functioned, all of those things. Now you begin to see that there is a gentleness, a love, all of the things that God is wanting you to have, peace that passes all understanding, joy, and even your roughest moments, all of those things begin to happen in your life because just like the word is saying, now you're making it come alive in your life, which is allowing for Him to be seen through you because it's no longer you who's doing things in your life. It's Him who's doing things in your life for you. Hallelujah. It's him being able to take those moments and say, let me give you something I've been wanting to give you. Let me show you what I want to show you so that you can be even more powerful, so that you can have all the things that I'm wanting to give you, so that you can lack nothing, so that you can be prosperous in every single thing that you do, so that you can be a reflection of who I am. It's why in those moments, give all the glory to God, because he is working things together for your good, that you might prosper, that you might have all the things that you need. There is so often that I think even ministries and churches want to do things. They want to place things in even, say, the communities. And I think so often, what is the thing that stops them? It's because they're looking at finances. They're looking at all the things that are happening physically around them when God is saying, just do what I've asked you and I will supply the need in your life. Just go. Just go. Do what I've asked you to do, and you'll begin to see that I will give you every single thing that you need to do what I've asked you to do. He's not going to put you in a place that hurts you. He's going to put you in a position to do exactly what he planned for you. And he never planned for bad things. Like in the sense of, I'm gonna take you here, I'm gonna put you in bed and just leave you there. That's not what he has for you. The Bible tells us over and over, just like in all the scriptures I've given you, that he plans for you to prosper. He plans for you to have good things in your life. He plans for you to be blessed. The Bible actually talks about how he will begin to put money in your hands, or even blessings in your hands from the people around you, because you are a child of God. Because he is going to bless you in what you do, because he's working through it. It's why you got to start looking at these moments for joy. Because you got to realize that though it looks bad to me, you have good things for me. You've told me I would lack nothing. You told me that I'm meant to prosper. You told me to rejoice, and I'm gonna rejoice in these moments, because I am gonna dance through the hard times. I am gonna worship in the difficult moments. I am gonna continue to go after you, because your word said, plain and simple, that's what we gotta start learning. Stand on the things that God has given you, because he has given you promises that are not meant to just be there. He's given you promises that you might be able to use them in your life. Stand on them so you can see his will come to pass in every single thing you do, every moment, every step. Everything is directed by him, so allow him to direct you. And let's start looking at the things that God's doing through the kingdom, through the word that he's given you. Let's stop seeing everything as adversity and start seeing everything as a moment for prosperity, as a moment to be built up, as a moment to learn, as a moment to have things that God wants to do in our life. It's about, I put on your point of view, because there's so many people in life that you can just see they're negative about things. Some people are positive about things. But the truth is we have a choice of how we're going to look at things. And we can choose that, God, I'm standing on your word, and I'm going to look at all these moments as a moment for prosperity in my life, as a moment that you have given me to learn, to gain wisdom, to be built up, to have new things. Because he wants to give you so so much more. He wants to continue to build your life. He wants to continue to place new things within your life. If you are still here, he still has a plan for you, and he is still working in you. He's still doing things in your life to bring you to the places that he always meant for you to be. There are gifts, there are things that you will begin to see just come forth in your life as he begins to give you things. So allow him to work. Take the wisdom that he's giving you. Take the lessons that he's putting in your life, and don't let him become a distraction or a stumbling block, but know that they are a moment for you and God to get something new. That they're meant to build you up. They're meant to add to your tools for the things that you have when it comes to ministering to the people around you, to your family, to everybody. They're for you. That's all I have. So,
I mean, you know, there's no lack in the kingdom of God. Is that right? The scriptures tell us that he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How many know that? That he's given us all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. How many know that? There is no lack. There is no need in the kingdom. So how many, could we all just stand? Yeah, come on. Just want to say that, I mean, if you've got a lack or a need, just put your hand up. Hallelujah. Any kind of lack, any kind of need. Oh, I need some new glasses. I need some insurance for my truck. I don't care what kind of need. I don't care. If you got every hand in the house should be up. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I got a need to seek more of God. I got a need to know more of God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Father, you see all the hands. God, I'm asking you, Father God, that you would just reveal to us that your provision, Father, for whatever it is we need. Father, if it's in their body, if it's something in their body, Father, reveal that you have for them personally. Father, we thank you for the working of your Spirit in our lives. We thank you for your words that you have said that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. That all things do work together for good to those that love God and to those that are called according to his purpose, to your purpose. So, Father, thank you for the provision for every need in the house, every need. In the name of Jesus, we not only speak it, but we proclaim it. That every need is met in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Go out and rejoice in the Lord with all your heart. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Go out, hug a neck, shake a hand, give somebody a smile. Love on, folks. Come on. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.